Journey to Wholeness, A Woman's Guide to Physical, Mental, and Emotional Transformation by Dr. Jennifer L. Champion. Preface. Grief, disappointment, and trauma are all etched into my own heart. I take solace that I am not alone in my experiences and that many women also experience these same patterns of growth in their own lives. From this shared experience came the concept for this journey book. This is no read and put away for a rough moment later in life kind of book. I have designed it to be fully interactive every step of the way. By allowing yourself to express yourself and live your life unafraid fully, you embrace the message behind this book. It is time to quit playing small and identify the triggers you have in your life that aren't just something of your past. Each of these experiences in the past gets lodged into your body and can create physical problems, symptoms, and diseases that no one wants. I developed PCOS and lupus, not because that was what my genetics told me I was going to have, but because I buried my emotions, stuffed who I was, and tried to become anything that I wasn't. I filled my emptiness with food that wasn't good for me, activities that harmed me, and thoughts that reaffirmed that I wasn't worthy. Those negative emotions ate away at the normal functioning of my healthy body and created a body that I loathed and wanted to throw away. I hated who I was and couldn't figure out why I was here on this planet. I wanted to find a 6-foot hole in the ground and climb in, never to climb out again. But I didn't. I did not give up. I did not give in. You don't have to either. Healing can be a daunting task. Vulnerability is a tremendous undertaking for many who have managed to bury emotions and hide their true selves deeply. Unearthing those skeletal emotions and events that have left us halted at one point or another in our lives can trigger a cascade of fear, anger, hurt, and sadness. However, like any dark period, we can count on the sun shining and the clouds clearing one day. No matter how much we have carried with us, we can put it behind us in a healthy manner. To put it down and not pick it up again, because it's all we have ever known. All too often, the women in my practice share that they start on the right foot on the journey, but soon find that they become fearful of the unknown. They know the abuse, struggles, and self-hatred. What they don't know is what is on the other side. Healing is a process and a journey in itself. Sometimes our travels are filled with valleys and peaks that impair our vision. And other times, it's flat, and we can see for miles what lies ahead. It's in those times that we are unsure of what lies ahead that we learn to trust in ourselves and the learning we acquired from past experiences. So, grab your favorite soft blanket, a cup of tea or hot cocoa, and a pen, and let's dive in. I am there with you, as I so often long to have someone there with me while I was doing the hard work. You are not alone. While my physical body isn't there, my heart is. My heart, my thoughts, and my energy are there with you in the form of this book. I am forever grateful that you invested in this book because it means that you are investing in yourself, which brings me joy. Introduction. My mother, Michelle Champion, wanted me so much she married and reproduced with a man who had lost his way by succumbing to his history of abuse and anger. She died from systemic lupus erythematosus in 1983 at 28 years old. I was 5. Her mother, Gail, raised me. A powerhouse of a woman, my grandmother Gail worked her way up from a mailroom employee in a bank to one of its first female vice presidents. She pushed me hard to pursue my education with my whole heart and mind, insisting I keep up my grades and find the courage to dig for answers. Because of her, my path led to my present life. I am forever grateful to her. It has taken me years to accept what I just shared with you, and truthfully, it's still sometimes tricky. My mother wanted me, and I'm grateful for my grandmother pushing me. Seem like simple, easy affirmations, but I've done a lot of hard work to reach a point where I can say them and mean what I say. My experiences on this journey have fostered my passion for helping others find their path to happiness. That's why I created this journal. I'm going to ask you to dig into your story, past and present. You will face brutal truths and brave discomfort. Since I will ask so much of you, it's only fair that I go first. I'd like to share my story with you. After I lost my mother, I lived with my grandmother and step-grandfather. As mentioned, my grandmother was a powerhouse of a woman. I learned to push myself and never settle for just good enough from her. She was one of the first female vice presidents for a national bank when women didn't hold such power positions. That pressure, no doubt, drove her to drink. I remember many nights finding her passed out on the living room floor, with the TV on and a glass and ashtray nearby. I have such compassion for her because I can imagine how she felt, like she could never rest, and always had to be out thinking and outperforming everyone around her. I still remember her telling me that if I wanted to get ahead in this world, I had to learn to be a bit androgynous, never conforming to what society told me was acceptable for a woman to do or be. Powerful words that have rung in my ears to this day. The downside of this mindset is that I learned that no matter what I did or how strong I was, it was never enough, and that I would never be good enough. My step-grandfather valued animals above people, often treating the dogs in the house better than he treated me. He did not attempt to hide his resentment of me. He hated that he could not enjoy an early retirement because he had to take me in, and would often fight with my grandmother over taking care of me while I was in the room with them. Raised among alcoholism and negativity, I heard things like, "We had to work past our retirement to take care of you. If you hadn't been born, your mother would still be here." And, "She was a much better person than you are turning out to be." I felt like I could do no right, please no one, and, indeed, shouldn't have been born. I understand now how those words often arose from stress and grief, but as a young child, I heard that my life was worthless, and I had no business being alive. Only while drunk did my step-grandfather ever express any positive emotion toward me. Otherwise, he never passed up an opportunity to remind me what a failure I was. My family saw tears as a sign of weakness, so I trained myself as a child not to cry. As a sensitive and spiritual person, I found this difficult, but over time I learned to separate my heart from my mind. After all, thinking didn't hurt, but feeling sure did. I used this coping strategy to fight through 2 rapes, constant feelings of low self-worth, and years of emotional and mental abuse. I hated myself. I tried to end my life in high school. Young me did not understand the error of burying my emotions, and I almost paid a terrible price. Fortunately, a friend and a volleyball coach caught me in time. I so desperately needed to become whole, but I didn't know how. When it came time to start college, I wanted to move as far away as possible. I knew the stakes involved and felt the urgency to stand on my own 2 feet and find my voice. Even with such a high desire to change my life, it would still take me years to accomplish this goal. Meanwhile, food served as a consistent comfort. Emotional eating champion right here. In fact, I took my emotional eating championship up to 350 pounds by the time I was a junior in my undergraduate program. During my undergraduate years, I discovered I had a learning disability. I read at a fifth grade pace, and quite frankly, still do. But I learned to hide it because I didn't need any additional flaws. I didn't spend enough time reading as a child and spent far too many hours playing video games. Video games were something at which I excelled. It was a world where I could escape for hours and not have to listen to the negative comments made by children at school or my family. In the world of video games, I was terrific. I was above reproach. All that aside, in college, I couldn't keep up with the reading assignments and felt like a failure. My inability to keep pace with my classmates forced me to change majors from journalism and English to psychology. And I fell in love with how the mind worked. Now, for some, obtaining a degree in psychology may seem like it would be far more tedious and academically rigorous, but for me, it was a comfortable fit. There wasn't as much reading, and there was far more observing behaviors and personalities. Observation and guarding were skills I mastered early on in life to survive. I didn't love school, but it came quickly for me and served as a place for me to hide. After graduation, I spent time job hopping and not finding anything that I loved. In my early 20s, I was diagnosed with PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome. My doctors put me on the three P's, prednisone, the pill, birth control, and Prozac. The prednisone made me gain more weight in a brief period, and I ceased to use it. The therapist prescribed Prozac because I was depressed, as are many women with PCOS. And the medical mindset of crazy rang in my ears as I filled that prescription. Eventually, I stopped taking Prozac because I didn't like the way it made me feel. The birth controls significantly increased my risk for gallstones and gallbladder disease, and I ended up having to have my gallbladder surgically removed. Hormone-based contraceptives simply masked the underlying issues that create the right environment for PCOS to develop anyway, so it was better that I ceased using birth control. Please note, this is not an encouragement for you to do the same. If you want to increase, decrease, or cease medication usage, please consult your healthcare provider before doing so. My mental and physical health issues, combined with watching my mother die from lupus and my grandmother die after a series of strokes, inspired me to pursue studies in nutrition and health. Nutrition, exercise, meditation, correct supplementation, not just the latest and greatest advertised on TV or the internet, and the power of visualization helped me find the strength to make the necessary changes to get where I am on my journey today. Each day I had to choose foods I would put in my body and how I would move and think. It wasn't ever easy, but it did get more comfortable along the way as it became more routine for me. The same will happen for you. This journey wasn't an easy one for me, and I certainly applaud you for taking the first steps on your journey. This journal is a reflection of some of the work I have done to feel more whole and a sample of what I use in practice with my clients on a daily basis. Every day that you get up, show up, and open up this book is a new day for you. It is a chance to focus on the positive and a chance to work toward becoming whole. What worked for me was to have the changes I needed and wanted to make to be broken down into tangible steps, pausing to ask, answer, and reflect on questions and ideas to which I had never given much thought. Then, from those thoughts, I was able to connect to my heart and focus on rejoining my mind and body. My desire for you is that you will one day be fully present and enjoying life to the fullest every day. Today I enjoy getting up in the morning and checking my calendar. The opportunity to help each client makes all the blood, sweat, and tears of my education worth it. I also appreciate the opportunity to take control of my past negative experiences and direct them towards something positive. But I don't want to stop at only my clients. I want to use my experiences and education to help anyone who commits to working through this journal. If you'd like to become a client, no matter where you reside, you'll find my contact information in my author bio or on the website. I work with women who have hormone and autoimmune conditions who come from all walks of life and who can meet via phone and the internet. Before you begin, here is a list of the supplies that you will need on your journey. 1. A small journal, lined or unlined, preferably blank on the cover. But if you can't find one or you want to use one lying around the house, feel free to do so. 2. A large poster board. Any color is acceptable, but white may make things stand out more. 3. Magazines or online magazines, articles, or websites that focus on appearance and our insecurities as women for their profit. I hope you enjoy reading and working through this journal. Let it serve as an account of your journey. Turning the first page is like taking that first step. See you on the other side.